Well, Randall Cagle was here some time ago, but we are thankful for he is back with us again. And he's the pastor at Shoal Creek Primitive Baptist Church at Canton, Georgia. So we're thankful that you're here. God bless
you. Thank you. Good to be here this evening and certainly begging interest in your prayers. Turn with us to the book of Exodus, chapter 13. Begin reading in verse number 11. Exodus 13 and 11. And I love to hear those pages rattling. Because I remember a time when it was just about against the law for the preacher to bring his Bible. But I'm glad everybody's bringing their Bible. And it can, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee. Thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that come of the beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. And the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among the children shalt thou redeem. I want to speak to you on the subject of depravity, which is not a very popular subject in religion, but among primitive Baptists, we understand it. Because if you're talking to somebody about the doctrines of grace, one thing that we ought to really be able to have in common is our depravity. Because all of us are depraved. We've already heard it today, and I don't have to re-preach that part of it. But we're depraved. And it says here that all the firstlings shall be redeemed. All the male shall be the Lord's. And then he says in verse 13, and every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. This subject that I hadn't thought about in a long time, and it's, I asked Brother Dan, I said, I don't know what's worse when you have no subjects on your mind or two subjects on your mind. And this just keeps on burdening me, and y'all pray for me. Because he says here that an ass, and I'm going to use the word donkey. I think everybody knows what a donkey is. And he says that the ass or the donkey thou shalt redeem with a lamb. Now, the donkey is an unclean animal. It has never been used in the service of God. It is never used on the altar. And if you had a donkey in this time, you had to redeem it with a lamb. And we see here that a lamb was a clean animal, always good for sacrifice. It is good for food. And it was good for raiment, that they would take the wool and make clothing out of it and take the skin. But that of a donkey was of no good. But he says if you didn't redeem it, you would take it outside and break its neck. Now that makes me think of over in the book of Genesis, chapter number 22, in verses 1 through 5, we see that let's just turn over there and let me get some of that. But we see that in this of showing our depravity, our depraved nature, that we have that nature of a donkey. Now I know that didn't get too many amens. But you know what? If we are sinners, and I know we are, and we're going to be redeemed, we're going to be redeemed by a lamb. Amen. Now y'all see the connection? We do have that nature. Our depraved nature is the nature of that donkey. Because we're not worth anything if we're not redeemed. we might as well be taken out back and our necks broken. That's the whole point he's teaching. And we see over here in Genesis chapter number 22, Abraham was taking his son Isaac up onto the mountain. And they gathered their things together in verse number 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two young men with him and Isaac his son and clave wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. They wasn't going to take that donkey up on that hill because it wasn't worth anything. It wasn't worth anything alive. It wasn't worth anything on the altar. It wasn't worth anything to the service of God. The donkey is that beast of burden. We know that. Anybody that's ever had any donkeys know that they've got a mind of their own. And I kind of get ahead of myself, but we see in this that if you had the donkey, it had to be redeemed by the lamb. That lamb that was the clean animal, that was good for sacrifice, good for food, good for clothing, and Jesus, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. When he was there and John the Baptist preaching that day and Jesus came over that hill and he said, I want you, in North Georgia tongues, I want you to look over yonder. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Guess who he was coming to take away the sin of? This donkey right here. This one right here. The Lamb of God. And if a sinner is going to be redeemed, it must be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Because when Abraham took Isaac up on that hill and he was ready to slit his throat, there was a ram caught in the thicket. And the Bible said the Lord prepared himself a sacrifice. Now I look at that in two ways. The Lord prepared himself, and the Lord prepared himself, the sacrifice. Because one thing that happened on the cross, Jesus Christ was the high priest, and he was also the sacrifice. How could anybody do that except Jesus Christ? And he redeemed those of us with that nature of the donkey. Deuteronomy chapter number 22, verse number 10. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 10. And you that are turning, turn over there and read this because I'm going to make some practical applications to this part. One little verse, one little paragraph, right in the middle of all of this, and the Bible says, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Why would he say that? Now, an ox was a clean animal. It was used for the sacrifice of God. It was used to eat. It was used for its skin and its hides because it was a clean animal. And he says, I don't want you to plow an ox and an ass together. I stood out there and read that marker out here in your front yard. And then I look out here and see these fields. And I thought, you know, these fields right here has probably been plowed with donkeys, mules, horses, and oxen. But I bet these fields has never been plowed with an ox and an ass together. You know what that's telling us? You think of a verse in the New Testament that means? Where he says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Let's turn over there and read that. 2 Corinthians 6:14. 2 Corinthians 6:14. We have several young people here today. And I know that most of you preachers, you've told your young people this, and if you hadn't, shame on you. I mean that. We need to be telling our young people how to be yoked together. And who to be yoked together with and who not to be yoked together with. The Old Testament says you don't plow an ox and an ass together. Why? Because they're not to be yoked together. And you young people that are out here today, you're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Verse number, well, I can't find it now. Oh, here. Oh, well, I was looking at 4 and 14. I get it on the right page. It'll be in the right place. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? See, children of God, and you young people, when you start looking for your spouses, you need to be looking for believers. Because there's one thing there that you'll see that you can have one less trouble in your life if you're equally yoked together with a believer. Because what communion has light with darkness? None. You know, it gets dark in these piney woods of Headland, Alabama. I can just imagine. And if we turn out those lights right now, guess what's going to happen? Darkness is over going to take this building. But if you turn that light switch on and these lights come on, guess what happens to darkness? It flees. And if you're letting your light shine as you ought to let it shine, darkness will flee. And what communion has darkness with light? None. What concord has Christ with Baal? Or what part he that believeth with an infidel? None whatsoever. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of God. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So he says, don't be unequally yoked. So you know what that does mean? Be equally yoked together with a believer. And I love what was said today about that beauty of marriage, of taking that bone from his side next to his heart, that you can be yoked together with your spouse forever. See, that's what a yoke does. Most of you young people ain't got a clue what a yoke is. Now, I was going to ask the question, how many people know what a yoke is? But how many people here don't know what a yoke is? Raise your hand. Everybody knows what a yoke is?
You should ask the
other way. All right, how many people here know what a yoke is? Okay. Still, the young people didn't raise their hand either way. A yoke is a mechanism to connect two animals together for the use in work. A yoke for an oxen was a piece of wood that was carved out where two ox would be sitting side by side. Now, I never worked any oxen, but I have worked mules and horses and hooked them in pairs or hooked them in tandem. And you would have a collar on one and a collar on another, and the trace chains would come back to one big trace chain in the middle, and they were together. And you always put the young animal with the old animal that they would work together. Now that's another sermon for another time for the preachers. And that reminds me of my next verse. And I'm just going to let you know, I am a note preacher. I got notes written down, and you know, used to I'd be ashamed of my notes, but I don't anymore. Because I remember a time when we used to sing at our church, we didn't have notes in our book. But you know where we had our notes? In our head. And every preacher that stands up here has got notes. They're either on a piece of paper, written on the margin of their Bible, or up here in their head. So we do have notes. And turn over Philippians chapter 4, verse number 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other of my fellow laborers, whose name are in the book of life. You know, I'm very thankful I'm here at this meeting with some yoke fellow. I'm here with Elder Dan Hall, who's going to be speaking after me, and one of my fathers in the ministry, Elder Gus Harder. And I call them yoke fellows because we're in the Atlanta area together, and we're there together. And I don't think of anything that if there was anything that I needed, I could call either one of these brethren. And not just them, Elder Marty Smith, Brother Ronald Lawrence, and you know, I look out and Brother Lonnie and Brother Clayton, and then I've seen some of you preachers that I had never met before. I want to be yoke fellows with you. I want us to be hooked together. I want us to plow the fields together. I want us to be laborers together with the Lord, not for the Lord, but with the Lord. And we need to be yoked equally together in our work. 1 Samuel chapter number 9. 1 Samuel chapter number 9. Verses 1 through 5. And I won't take the time to read all of these because of time. But it was time that a man was named Benjamin. He was of Kish, the son of Abel, Zabor, and all this. And he had the son whose name was Saul. And they had all these donkeys. And in these donkeys, they got loose. And they were lost. And he tells us plainly in verse number 3, and he says, "And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee and rise and go seek the asses." And they looked and they looked and they looked and they couldn't find them because they were lost and they wasn't to be found by anybody. So what's the moral of that story? These lost donkeys man could never find. And to bring a lost sinner to God, man can't never do. See that of the nature of the donkey, they were to run out. But we see that in Luke chapter 15 in verse number 3, that the lost sheep could be gone out and found. See that of, and I'm talking in an eternal sense here, that somebody that is lost and an unregenerate, you're never going to find with man or mankind. But we see that even over in Jeremiah, chapter number 22 of Jeremiah, and verse number 8, we see over here, turn over to Jeremiah and 22 and verse number 8. And we see here in verse number 19, "He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem." You know, when our Lord Jesus Christ was taken outside the gates and he died a despicable death. He died a death that was of anything that had ever happened. And you've heard it today, the despicableness of all that they did to our Lord Jesus Christ. And all the beatings and all the torment and all the torture that the Lord went through. It was, he says, his visage was marred more than any man. But what happened when he said, "It is finished"? That's when he redeemed us. You know, all that man did before that was what depraved man would do. And that, you know, there's been movies, somebody even mentioned that, and that even that last movie about the crucifixion of Christ. You know, and I looked at that movie and I seen that, and they showed that very last scene where they was driving that spike through that man's hand. And I thought to myself, you know, most people think that what they did to the Lord up until that point had something to do with their sin. That was just depraved man doing what depraved man does. Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross, that was him when he redeemed us from our sin. Because if it was what those men did to Jesus up until that point, guess what? Those men had something to do with our redemption. And they didn't have nothing to do with our redemption. But he died the death outside the gate. Hebrews says it the best. He died outside the city. And I think about, and I turn over there, I won't read it all, but over in the book of Judges, chapter number 15, I think of this over here in Judges chapter number 15, that there was a man named Samson. In verse 15 of chapter 15, it says, "And he found a new jawbone of an ass. And he put forth his hand and he took it and slew 1,000 men therewith." Now, I can't imagine that. You know, here's a brand new dead donkey. A brand new dead donkey. Well, a newly dead donkey, I guess. A newly slain donkey. But he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men. Now, I just kind of think of that. You know, here's this donkey, and he just reaches down there and grabs that bottom jawbone and just breaks it off and starts killing 1,000 folks. You know, that donkey was worth more dead than it was alive. But you know what that story is for us? That we need to die daily to our sin, because we're worth more dead to sin than we are alive to sin. Luke chapter 9, verse number 23 says that we're alive in Christ and we need to be dead to ourselves. And think about this, and I thought about this when we was talking about the crucifixion of Christ. And the Bible says that we need to die daily and we need to crucify ourselves. Have you ever tried to crucify yourself? You know it's impossible. You can drive the stake through one hand and through 2 feet. Now, I'm right-handed, so I could drive it through both of my feet and through this hand, because I could hold the stake, but who's going to do this hand? That's why we need the power of God every day of our life. To be crucified to Christ, it's going to take a power greater than me to do that. So we need to die daily, and we need to see ourselves alive to Christ and dead to sin. Now, I've said all of this to get to this last part over in Zechariah. Chapter number 9, verse number 9. He says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh. Unto thee he is just and having salvation, lowly riding upon an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass." Now turn over to Matthew 21, and I will close with this verse over here. This was the time before the Lord's crucifixion. They were waving the palm branches. And he's going through the town and they're shouting, Hosanna. And he says to a man in verse number 2, go into the village over against you, and straightway you will find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which we just got through reading. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto the meek and sitting upon the ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. Now, you farmers that are here, how many of you have raised livestock? Raised a cow, raised a horse, raised a donkey? You know that each one of those animals, as soon as that baby's born, you're not going to separate those two. I remember we had a mare one time, and we raised a couple foals with her. And what was so funny, after she had recovered and we started riding her, we'd get up on that mare, and we'd ride through the neighborhood, and here's the little old foal just falling right along with us. But if you ever took that foal away from that mama, you had a fight on your hands. I don't care if it was a cow, whether it was a horse, whether it was a donkey, or whether a mule. You couldn't take that baby away from its mama. But we see here that there was a man, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's the only one that can have the power to change the nature of that donkey. He says, you bring the mama and you bring the baby. Now, I remember when we had those foals. And us boys, you know, we thought, we're going to try to ride that thing. We're going to try to ride it. Yeah. About the time we got on her back, we was on the ground. Somebody had to break that animal to be able to ride. And they tell me that the worst animal to break to ride is a little baby donkey, because they weren't really made to ride that much. They was the beast of burden. And most of the time they carried packs and they carried the things. But he says here that he gets on the colt, the foal of this donkey, and he rides through the streets of Jerusalem, because he's the only one that can change the nature of that donkey. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can change the nature of this donkey. Man can't do it, but Jesus Christ can. He gets all the glory. You know, this singing we've had here tonight, as the old time preacher said, if that don't light you fire, you wood's wet. Now that lit my fire. And it will help. And it'll help change this old depraved nature from time to time. But the only one that can change it is Jesus Christ. And as he changed that nature of that colt that day, totally obscure from anything that anybody had ever seen. And you know what I think about every time I read that? How many of those scribes, how many of those Pharisees, how many of those religionists of that day remembered Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9? And I can just imagine, some of them said, wait a minute, I read about that. Now it's happening. I'm so thankful that we believe in the doctrine of salvation by grace, that only Jesus Christ can change the nature of the depraved sinner. And He can change it to fit His need at His time, at His will, and when He wants it done. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.
Amen.